Item 1357, request of Doug Peterson to address council regarding concern for future of Peterson's in the 10th and Yamhill parking garage. Jill.
Are you Jill?
Okay.
Yeah, you can come up together. Sure.
All right.
I just want to make sure that.
Yeah.
That's and fine. Item 1358, request of Jill Hymanson to address council regarding please allow Petersons to stay.
Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Hi, I'm Jill Hymanson. I'm Peterson's lobbyist. So I just have a few small things that I'd like to bring up today. First of all, so the tenant selection process for the building, the 10th and Morrison building that Mr. Peterson is in, it's the downtown retail council are the people who are going to be selecting the people on the committee that are going to be selecting the tenants for the building. But the problem that we're having is we don't really feel like it's fair because Prosper Portland and the Portland Business Alliance are going to be the ones who are selecting the people who are going to be on the committee that are selecting the tenants, who are the same people that tried to kick them out 10 years ago. And so what we're wondering is if there's a way we could get maybe a downtown representative, somebody who lives in the area, or some other kind of fair process for to select the tenants for the building. So that's the first thing. So the second thing is we're wondering if they possible to change the rules so they aren't deliberately exclusionary for Mr. Peterson. The rules where they're basically you can't sell alcohol on premise for people to take with them, and then there's the thing where you can only have 3 stores and Mr. Peterson's has 4, and it just feels like they're deliberately exclusionary. So if there's a way we could change those, and then I'm going to give Mr. Peterson the rest of my time. So.
Okay. Well, thank you, and thank you for hearing us again. We've been here a few times. These are petitions. I just made one set today. There's over 3,500 people that have signed the petition. We're very close to our customers, and customers really do like Peterson's. And we have 900 customers a day on average. We're open all hours at TriMet runs, and we've developed our business around the mass transit. That's why I picked that location to begin with, and we're very much geared to that. We're very close to our customers in that we can add things that when people want something that is in demand, we can add it to our stores very quickly, unlike big corporate stores that have to go through all types of processes to get new items in. We can do it right away. We can adjust at one time. We had a large selection of greeting cards. Well, that business kind of went away, so we adjusted, brought in more soft drinks and that type of product. At one time, we had 3,500 different titles of magazines. Well, the Internet kind of cleared out that, so we don't have magazines at all anymore, and we have more and more of what people want, juices, drinks, food, and we're very quick, and we can change fast. And golly, we've been there 33 years, and we're very successful. And I look at downtown, and downtown is kind of getting a little sick. The hotel business is very good, but when you look at retail, you know, Macy's went out. There's concern about Nordstrom's. There's a lot of other stores have gone out. And we've been successful all the way through. And, golly, I think we need some assurance that somehow we're grandfathered in that as long as we're willing to pay the market rate for rent, which I don't see as a problem, somehow I feel like we should be grandfathered in. And yes, the rules they set up on the program through the Prosper Portland, we can't sell alcohol. Well, that's part of our business. It's 10% of our business. But what we are selling is craft beers, microbrews, and lots of local of that, and lots of local wines, not table wines, not junk wine. And we never carried the problem alcohol. And to me, that's just a rule written to, keep us out. And they also, 1,000 square feet. Well, I can't operate in 1,000 square feet. 2,000 square feet is about the size I need. But they've drawn it up that way. And so I just think there should be assurances that we can come back. The other thing, we'd like to stay open as long as we can. Looks like it's going to be a while now before, because they have to go through the architectural approval and building permits. That's not going to happen until sometime in February at the earliest. The delay because of that accident, terrible accident they had where the concrete fell down onto the TriMet stop, that could have been very disastrous. And the whole building is built that way. Earthquake, a whole lot of those barriers could come down, and that needs to be remedied, and they'll probably have to have time to do that.
Mr. Peterson, could I respond to one thing you just said?
And, sure.
And you've been coming regularly and very effectively making your case, so I applaud you for that.
Thank you.
I think if we had a year-end award, you'd be the top of the list.
Sorry about that.
Not sorry. It's called democracy, and I'm actually complimenting you for the way you're going about, in a very respectful way, making mm-hmm. the case. But you did say something earlier about sort of downtown and retail being sick. I want to share just a quick something I learned yesterday, because I met with Travel Portland, and then I met with a big property owner. In the last 4 years, we've seen a 100% increase in the number of people coming here and staying in hotels.
Yes, yes.
And that's why we're building all those downtown hotels, because people want to come. Number two, apparently we have a retail environment, particularly neighborhood-based, that's the envy of the country, and it's going to keep getting better. Number three, there are a whole bunch of really interesting companies thinking about opening downtown. Of all the factors that they list as risk factors, and your mind can come up with most of them, the number one thing that is causing uncertainty in the marketplace is the future of retail. And the future of retail is not a function of what we do on one corner or another corner. It's a function of what happens with Amazon and the internet and changing habits. I took the pledge this year to buy local for Christmas. So all my Christmas presents I bought local. So 70 cents every dollar stays here. But as you know, the trend is going the other way. And people are increasingly using the internet, other things, and big box retail. So those are all the factors. But it turns out we actually have one of the healthiest retail environments in the country.
True.
What's different is it's sort of smaller. And that's our brand. But otherwise, I appreciate your dogged advocacy.
We are local.
Thank you very much. And his business is, it's local business. And people who are going downtown and shopping in your retail, they have to go get drinks. And they have to get snacks. So they seem like Petersons would fit very nicely in there.
Thank you both.
I want to thank you and wish you both happy holiday. I want to second what Commissioner Fish just said. There was a survey that came out just the other day that shows both traffic and retail activity have increased in the downtown core. And what Nick just said is correct. Half the retail growth in the United States during the last year was attributable to one company, Amazon. And a large chunk of the other half of retail growth was also online retailers that were not Amazon. And yet we seem to be defying the odds here. So those who are shoveling dirt on the downtown retail district and saying it's dead are actually out of step with the reality. The reality is Portland has a thriving retail mm-hmm. core. And I heard somebody, a retailer downtown, talking about their expectations for next year. They think with the number of new retail sightings that are expected over the course of the next year, they think next year's holiday season will be even more robust mm-hmm. than this. So thank you.
We would like to be part of it.
Yeah, and Amazon is not going to replace his store.
Not a chance. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
Very Amazon good. Won't.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Let's get to the consent agenda quickly. Have any items been pulled off the consent agenda?
No pulls.
Please call the roll.
Udaly.
Aye.
Prince.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Wheeler.
All right, the consent agenda is adopted. Could you please read the first time certain item, 1359.
Authorize agreements with Peregrine Sports, LLC, for the expansion and operation of Providence Park Stadium.
Very good. Colleagues, I'm pleased to bring this ordinance to the council today. This action approves continued construction and operation of a $50 million privately funded expansion of the city's stadium, Providence Park, The project will add 4,000 seats to the stadium and help both the Portland Timbers and the Portland Thorns continue their amazing success stories as more fans can get to the games. The legal documents this ordinance allows me to sign are the culmination of many months of hard work by the city's team and representatives from Peregrine Sports, the parent company of the teams. These documents implement the basic deal terms the council approved by resolution in June of this year. Here to present the items are Tom Reinhart, the city's chief operating officer, chief administrative officer, actually. Dina Alexander, the city's outside counsel, with Rattler White Parks and Alexander, and of course Mike Gullob, the president of business for Peregrine Sports. Good morning. Tom, did you want to kick us off?
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Council. Again, my name is Tom Reinhart. I'm the city's chief administrative officer, and I'm proud to represent the team this morning on this important item. The agreement before you in these documents is consistent with the terms approved by Council in June. Just to reiterate, Peregrine Sports is paying for the entire design and construction costs of the project, estimated at $50 million, as well as any cost overruns associated with the project that may occur. As a reminder and a link to what you heard last week, this project is a great example of a beneficial impact on the city's net position that Chief Financial Officer Ken Russ discussed with you in his presentation. The city gains a physical asset without increasing our debt. While the city is exempting payment of certain ticket tax revenue to help offset the cost, the value of those exemptions is projected to be less than the increased revenue the city will collect after the exemption period ends. The combined value of the exemptions over the life of the agreement, as a reminder to Council, is estimated to be between $3.7 million and $5.1 million. And factoring in our other expenses, the net positive for the Spectator Venues and Visitor Activities Fund is between $2 million and $5 million. Our direct costs related to the expansion are for legal counsel and construction oversight, an estimated $700,000. Today, the ordinance before you is an emergency ordinance because construction is already well underway after council granted approval to proceed on limited construction activities in September. As we all know, it's important to move forward quickly to keep the project on schedule. While the ordinance finalizes the business deal, other related items will return to you in the coming months, and just let me give you a sneak preview of those. Peregrine and the city are working with the Stadium Oversight Committee, including representatives from the Goose Hollow Foothills League and the Northwest District Association, to update the Good Neighbor Agreement and the Comprehensive Transportation Management Plan to address potential impacts on the neighborhood due to this project. These documents, which are required by our zoning code, will be brought to you for adoption before the expansion opens. Before Mike gets us all excited again about this terrific expansion to our stadium and the benefits for the city, I'm going to invite Dina Alexander, our excellent outside legal counsel, to briefly talk about the deal points and the associated documents before you.
Thanks, Tom, and good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Again, Dina Alexander, Rattler White, Parks and Alexander, outside counsel for the city on this transaction. And Tom has summarized the business and key deal points, so I thought I would briefly summarize the key legal documents associated with this transaction, and there are four of them. The first is the expansion redevelopment agreement. And this expansion was technically an enhancement under your existing stadium operating agreement. That fact enabled us to create a one-off document that was specific to and tailored to this expansion itself. And that document mirrors the 2010 redevelopment agreement, but was tailored to it and things were removed from it that were inapplicable. The fundamentals of the expansion redevelopment agreement relate to the design and construction of the expansion itself, and the approvals that the city has over design and construction, as well as contractors, architects, other consultants, and the contracts associated with those folks to the extent that their values exceed $100,000. The redevelopment agreement also covers key public goals and objectives, a few examples of which are the city's green building policies, the Good Neighbor Agreement, and an amendment to the CTMP. In addition, this transaction required us to amend the existing stadium operating agreement. And that amendment was necessary primarily because of the economic terms that Tom explained related to the deal. So that amendment reflects the ticket tax exemptions that were fundamental to this deal. That amendment also covers the arcade, which is the encroachment into the Southwest 18th right-of-way that came to you previously before council. And there were some key terms and conditions that we negotiated related to that unique feature of the expansion. The third document is a performance and completion guarantee. This is a guarantee signed by both Merritt Paulson and Hank Paulson, and they personally have guaranteed the completion of the expansion or otherwise to make the city whole. And this was a key legal document for the city to protect against any financial risk, again, bolstering the fact that Peregrine was willing to pay for the expansion, but protecting the city in a more personal way by the two Paulsons. The last key document was an amendment to the exclusive use and guarantee agreement. And this agreement is also part of the 2010 transaction. And that document fundamentally ensures that the Timbers in 2010 would play most of their home games in the stadium. In 2010, of course, the Thorns didn't exist. And so we amended this document to add the Thorns and ensure that the Thorns play most of their home games in the stadium with a few limited specified exceptions. For example, if Peregrine should sell the team to an unaffiliated third party, if the league should dissolve, or if attendance should fall to some levels that would make it unviable to retain them in the stadium.
Could you just explain the first of those, if they were to sell the Thorns?
Yes, so if part of the negotiation was if Peregrine sells the team to a party that has no affiliation with the Paulson family, that they would not be required in that circumstance to necessarily keep them in the stadium. And Commissioner, this was a challenging yet I think ultimately productive negotiation in that this was not something that Peregrine was required in the initial deal, was not something that they necessarily had to agree to at all.
That what have they agreed to? It sounds like they haven't agreed to really very much.
They have, because that team is, as you know, is arguably the most successful women's sports team in the world. There's definitely incentive for Peregrine to keep them and have them playing here because they are so successful and their attendance numbers are so high.
But why did we allow them to potentially sell the Thorns, and which would be a big impact to the city in terms of future ticket taxes?
We didn't feel that we had the ability, and frankly, they can sell the Timbers as well. I mean, we have never tried to tie their hands in terms of forcing them to retain ownership of either of the teams, Commissioner. And it was all in all just part of the negotiation to get the best deal we could for the city related to having the Thorns play most of their home games in the stadium.
Well, as you mentioned, obviously they are the most successful women's sports team in the world, and there's no way that the league would allow them to move, given that they're fundamentally required for this. Their attendance is required, and there's nowhere else in the area that they could play with the same attendance. So there's that. I just therefore question why there is in the contract that they can move the team at all. Maybe Mr. Golub could get to that when it's his turn. Sorry, do go ahead. Thank you.
So those are the four key documents, and again, an amendment to the Good Neighbor Agreement and the CTMP will be coming back before you before the expansion opens. And that's, unless you have questions, that's all I have.
Good. Very good. Any public testimony on this item?
Mr. Golub.
I apologize. Sorry, Mike.
Good. Thank you. Good morning. Mike Golub, president of the Timbers and Thorns. First of all, let me, on behalf of Merritt and the entire organization, thank all of you and your respective staffs for the immense amount of work and energy and passion you've put behind bringing this deal to fruition so expeditiously. We're deeply grateful. In our view, it's an amazing example of a public-private partnership that works. Our collective resources and expertise are brought together to do something that otherwise wouldn't be possible. We're enormously proud of our 7 years of Timbers and 5 years of the Thorns. We believe firmly that this deal and this project will allow us to build on success and the positive impact we had and have had in the community for many years to come. We've got a couple of slides we want to share with you. I think we've, in the past, showed you some of the renderings. We've got some updated ones to share that we thought you'd find interesting. This is a visual from the Timbers Army's perspective, from the north end of the stadium, of what the new stadium will look like. Again, three levels over the existing east side of the stadium. That's going to add 4,000 seats. And as a reminder, we've sold out every game we've ever played and have a waiting list of 14,000-plus fans who are wanting to get Timbers season tickets. So this will allow us to satisfy at least a portion of those, and we've sold out a number of Thorns games over the years, so the Thorns too will benefit from the stadium expansion. And then here's an exterior looking from the intersection of 18th and Morrison, TriMet Station to your lower left, and we think it's going to be just a beautiful addition to the stadium. It blends the old and new very elegantly, creates energy inside and outside, and reminder, architect is local Architects Allied Works, so we're very proud that we're partnering with some of the best local people in their respective fields. And lastly, and Amanda, I'll be happy to address your question, but lastly, I wanted to give special thanks to Tom and Dina and Susan and Ken and Carl and Zoe. They've been terrific to work with. We appreciate their efforts, their caffeine, their sugar, and their sense of humor during the process. We think we've gotten to a good place. Thanks.
Thank you.
So, would you address my question, please?
So, obviously, we're enormously proud of what we've done with the Thorns. It has been a remarkable success story. On every level. And as Dina mentioned, there's no women's team in the world that's doing what we're doing. And we've demonstrated our commitment and passion and investment to women's sports repeatedly. This deal doesn't change that in any way. But a reminder, Commissioner Fritz, that our original deal with the city and the attendant economics were never predicated on the Thorns because, as Dina pointed out, the Thorns were not contemplated. And what the provision that Dina referenced allows us is future flexibility should we need it. Again, our intent is to keep the Timbers and Thorns here for many, many years. That's why we're doing this project to begin with, because we felt that if we didn't do this project and didn't invest the $50 to $60 million that we're investing, that the stadium could actually lose its viability to host the teams in the future. So the very reason why we're doing this is to ensure the two clubs are here for the long term. But this particular provision allows us the ability, should ownership want, to sell the Thorns to a different entity. And with the history of uncertainty around women's sports and women's sports league, it's not a crazy potential scenario.
I wouldn't object if the league dissolves. However, while your point is correct that the original deal was not predicated on the Thorns, this deal, in my mind, was predicated on the Thorns being part of it, partly for the ticket taxes and partly because this is a community that values women in sports as well as men. So, obviously, this is an emergency ordinance, and I have no wish to spend another 7 years earning my way back into the good graces of the Timbers Army by voting against it. And still, this is really quite a disappointment to me. If it weren't for the fact that I believe that the league will not allow the Thorns to go elsewhere, at least for the foreseeable future, I would have might be willing to object even more strongly, but as it is, I'll support this.
Commissioner Fish.
Well, it does prompt one question I'll put to Tom, which is, and Amanda alluded to it, if the Thorns, if the league dissolved or the Thorns were sold, how does that impact the economics of our deal in terms of the stadium expansion?
Well, Dana can correct me if I'm wrong about this, but my understanding of it is we do have future cash flow projections on ticket sales for the Thorns in the scenario for the Spectator Venues Fund. It would marginally decrease the upside and the positive nature of the cash flow in the years to come, but it wouldn't send it to a negative balance in terms of the cash flow in the fund. I also want to address Commissioner Fritz's question as well to add to what Dina and Mike said. While we didn't get encumbrance on sale, I think it's important, Commissioner Fritz, for me to tell you that the team worked very hard to ensure that the majority of home games are played at Providence Park, that we worked hard on a threshold that the attendance would have to dip under for them to have the flexibility that they originally wanted, which was to potentially move to another stadium. So I want to assure you from the team's perspective that we worked very hard to get as far as we could on the protections around the Thorns. And I just want to make sure you heard that from me on the record.
I appreciate that. Supposing either team played a game, say, at Autzen Stadium, would the city get ticket taxes from that?
No, games not played in the stadium, which is why we worked very hard to respond to our partners' need for some flexibility in promoting the team's brand far and wide, but also ensuring that we have adequate revenue for the stadium.
So in response to Commissioner Fish's question, what is the expected revenue from Thorns ticket taxes per annually in this agreement?
I don't have that figure in front of me. Mike, do you have that off the top of your head?
Even Susan Hartness is shaking her head. So
I don't, but let me also add,
doesn't know, nobody knows.
Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Fish, our economic incentives are absolutely 100% aligned. Right, we want as many events at the stadium, including the Thorns, as do you, for many of the same reasons. We're playing Timbers 2 games in the stadium. That's something we didn't anticipate. Our non-game event business has increased. So should the league fold, which, you know, there's no sign that the league's in trouble, but should the league fold, there's so many other opportunities we consider to look at that will fulfill the event calendar and the attendant revenues.
Mike, let me pick up on that for a sec. First of all, have you made a formal announcement yet about the Timbers coach?
We have. We announced it earlier this week.
Would you want to share it with us?
Sure. His name is Giovanni Savarese. He's a Venezuelan international. He played in MLS for the New York team for many years, has played around the world, and for the last 7 years coached the New York Cosmos, a venerable soccer brand that's done very well under his watch, winning several championships. He's 46, speaks four languages, fell in love with Portland, and I think you'll find him incredibly passionate, engaging person and a terrific on-field coach. So we're really excited about his arrival, which will be early January.
Congratulations. So, Mike, I have my goal for next year is to is twofold. One is to get reelected, and two is to be cancer-free. And that'll be a pretty good year. And then my bucket list, if I have the honor of serving another 4 years, is to work with the council to find a final solution for a final resolution of for the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. There's a happy ending there someday, but it's I think it's within our reach. Is to see the day when NHL comes to Portland, because I'm told that our basketball arena is actually a better hockey arena than basketball arena, and city would benefit greatly if we had both. I'd also like to see the NCAA host their men's and women's soccer championships here. My question to you is, what's the biggest obstacle that you foresee in the next 4 years of moving to grass and having the best grass field in MLS? And I believe the MLS finals were played on grass, the championship game. But what's the biggest impediment to us moving to grass and having a single-purpose field?
First of all, we too really desperately want the NCAA championship, soccer championships at Providence Park, and actually, along with the Sports Authority and University of Portland, bid on this past one when North Carolina lost it. We did not get it, and turf is an impediment to that, though we're trying to overcome that.
And the attendance wasn't so great at the finals. I mean, at least what I saw on TV.
True, and we know it would do extremely well here. To answer your question, Nick, it's challenging hosting Portland State football and soccer in our climate on grass.
So let me ask you this. If at some point Portland State and Urban University decided to either move away from football or found another venue, would that make it plausible for us to think about options for having a grass field?
Certainly more plausible. And one other thing, a couple other notes, Nick, on that. because we have turf, we're able to hold a huge array of community events, camps, and clinics on the turf that otherwise wouldn't have a home at the stadium, to do a lot of group events and company events that that turf allows. So there's some advantages. We've not ever lost an event. We've had some of the biggest soccer clubs around the world play on our turf, All-Star Game in 2013, as you recall. And so while it's not grass, and the purists like you, Nick, would obviously prefer grass, it has not hurt us too much. So, but to answer your question, if we didn't have to, and Portland State's been a great partner and tenant, but it does make it difficult to consider grass.
Well, it's on my bucket list, and I know there's a cost, and I know there's other considerations, but I'm also told that Oregon makes some of the best grass, maybe the best in class for grass fields, and I'm also different kind of grass. This is a tough audience here. I'm also told that there are some stadiums where they actually remove the grass as a compromise. It rolls out and can be rolled up and used for different purposes. But I look forward to the day where there is a field, a grass field that is as nice as the one at Merlo Field, that's used exclusively for soccer, and that in turn you get those events that we don't get now because of the turf field. And it becomes like an amazing, even a more amazing venue. So this just my own view.
Thanks.
I think I'm in the minority on this, but congratulations on the coaching hire.
Tom, you had something else?
I think we may have neglected to thank the city attorney's office as well. So thanks to Ken McGare and the others that helped us and the entire team.
Thank you. Any questions for now? Public testimony, please, Sue.
No one signed up.
Come on up, one individual. The list is closed. Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Watchdog X. Again, I do like the project that I'm seeing here. One of the concerns that I do have, obviously, and it's a point that Commissioner Fritz brought up, is that I understand the flexibility of being able to sell the Thorns, and I absolutely agree with that. I like the fact that Hank Paulson is doing a guarantee on this. Now, where I have a little bit of a problem here is that if it is sold, I didn't want to see any decrease in income. Now, what I'm saying is that I was hoping that there would be kind of an estimate of where the income might be and then do a kind of a rent guarantee upon a sale. And I would have liked to have that inserted in the language to where that could have been negotiated from the city to guarantee a certain established rent level to continue. And again, to Hank Paulson, I'm sure you could afford it. And my position also is that they're going to be getting a certain amount of financing through their own, what is it, J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. And they're going for $70 million. As you know, to stipulate a rent guarantee in this, I think would have been very realistic due to the fact they're already getting this financing to have it lined up. And again, Hank Paulson is guaranteeing this. So again, I agree with the flexibility on selling the Thorns. Absolutely. I don't want to see any decrease to the city of Portland. So the point of Commissioner Fritz, I think, was right on the mark. And it's a very good point. Other than that, this project looks great. I wanted to have a little more emphasis again. Was there going to be any additional artwork added? And I didn't see anything on the overall agreement that was going to come into place. I enjoy some of the art currently around the property itself. Are they going to add any additional artwork throughout this facility? I did not see that. Also, on any dealings with the city of Portland on conflict of interest, no member, official, or employee of the city shall have any personal economic interest, direct or indirect, in this agreement, nor shall any such member, official, or employee participate in any decision relating to this agreement which affects his or her personal interests or economic interests of any corporation, partnership, or association in which he or she is directly or indirectly interested for purposes. Now, let me just say this. I'm going to watch on the conflict of interest on this because the city of Portland owns this property. And I'll watch very close on how this deal is handled throughout to understand there will be no conflicts of interest. Thank you.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
Udalee.
Well, I would just like to quickly thank staff at BDS and PBOT for their extraordinary efforts to get this project permitted, specifically Kurt Kruger from PBOT and David Kuhnhausen from BDS. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, I know everybody worked really hard on this agreement. Thank you all for your diligence and your work on this. It's generally the case that you never get everything you want, one side or the other. So thank you for this, and congratulations on the Thorns winning their second championship. And I look forward to when is it March? Can it come quicker, please? Aye.
Fish.
Thank you for the presentation. Mike, congratulations on all the success of both franchises. And thanks to our team, our A-team, for putting this deal together. Aye.
Wheeler.
Thank you to everybody who worked hard on this, on all sides of this issue. Thank you, Tom Reinhart. I know that you've been putting a lot of time and energy into this. Mike, I know on behalf of Peregrine, you've been very, very actively involved in this. I think at the end of the day, this is a very solid deal, and there's no question that the asset that we're improving here can only benefit the city. So I'm very appreciative of this and very excited about the potential. Thank you. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Next item, please.